Hey guys, it's me, Nancy Jane Smith. Welcome back to The Happier Approach, the show that pulls back the curtain on the need to succeed, hustle, and achieve at the price of our inner peace and relationships. All throughout this season, as we've been tackling the topic of change, I kept thinking back on all the different habits and thoughts that have kept me from making meaningful change in my life. One that really stuck out? Comparison. You know, looking at what other people are doing and telling yourself that you'll never be as smart, good, funny, pretty, or have as many likes on social media as them. The comparison game has kept me stuck more times than I'd like to admit. So many times that I feel like I've actually turned the art of comparison into an art form. An unhelpful, stagnating art form, that is. I've had more than one so-called nemesis that I've compared myself to over the years, and it took me actually facing my nemesis head-on to get to the root of my comparison problem and actually figure out how to kick it to the curb. For years, I always had a business nemesis. It was someone who was in a similar business who appeared to have more success than me. Back when I was on social media, I would follow my nemesis online and create a backstory about them and how awful they were. And I would change up my nemesis. I would choose someone who I wanted to compare myself to or get ideas from, as my BFF, the voice of false self-compassion, called it, and would spend time online spying on them. The problem was I would follow them purely to torture myself. The unconscious cycle would go something like this. Sit down on my computer for my workday with great plans for the day, but not quite feeling like I wanted to dive into work yet. Let's get some ideas from other people, my BFF would say, sounding innocent, like she was trying to help. I would immediately search online for my latest nemesis. At this time, Justine was my nemesis of choice. I'd pull up Justine's social media presence. Yep, this is one reason I got off social media. And start scrolling through her feed. And the emotional cutting would begin. Each picture was like a slice into my self-esteem. My monger, the inner critic, would start yelling, "Look at that! She is beautiful! And what she is saying is so wise! And there it is! She has hundreds of likes on this one post! You never get hundreds of likes. She's so much better at this than you are. Wow." By the time I was done, my BFF and monger were going at it. My BFF would jump in to protect me by criticizing everything Justine did. "Well, that is ridiculous. I mean, how do you expect to help people by telling them to change their thoughts? That doesn't work." Followed by my monger. "Well, what do you stand for? I couldn't tell by looking at your social media presence. You're all over the board. At least Justine is clear on what she stands for." Round and round they would go until I was ready to throw in the towel. All my great plans for the day were out the window, and I was swimming in self-doubt and making a nest deep down in a monger rabbit hole. There's a common quote that says, "Comparison is the thief of joy." And often when I tell people that I engage in this behavior, that's what they will say to me. Yep, comparison is the thief of joy. That is true. And saying that is about as helpful as telling me to stop it. This behavior is deeper than being healed by a quote. That's why I decided to meet this comparison behavior head on. I decided that I'd interview one of my real-life business nemeses and reveal to her the comparison game that I'd secretly been playing for years and years.
Oh, I'm so excited! This is amazing! So fun!
Thank you for doing this, Regan, and it worked out.
This is Regan Walsh, one of my final business nemeses. The boss of the business nemesis level, if you will.
My life's work is about helping renegade women and people in corporate America show up in really big ways. The work that I do is all around human innovation and disruption. And I recently pivoted and joined forces with a woman named Amy Jo Martin to build Renegade Global, which has been such a fun ride. I've been doing this work for about 7 months now. It's a fast-growing startup, and it's so energizing and exciting, and I feel so lucky to do this work.
Well, she seems really scary, doesn't she? Once Regan and I exchanged hellos and introductions, I got down to business.
Okay, so here's the thing. I wanted to do this, we're doing the whole season on change. And one of the things we came up with was how comparison prevents us from making change. And Nikki was like,
that's Nikki, my podcast producer.
Oh, do you have any, anyone that you compare yourself to? And I always have a nemesis. Like, for years, I've had someone that I compare myself to. For a long time, you were my person that was constantly comparing myself to and, you know, beat myself up with. Like, I could never be as cool as Regan. Because I would do the deep dives into what's Regan doing on social media? What are Regan's programs? Where has Regan been podcasting? So I wanted to bring you on and confess that.
I tensed up, waiting for what Regan would say next. And wouldn't you know?
Oh my gosh. Well, let's just rip the Band-Aid off and go down this topic. I'm excited about it. Yeah.
Regan was super gracious and understanding.
I think every human compares and then has that sense of feeling less than or greed or, you know, jealous or why not me?
She'd even played the comparison game herself.
Certainly throughout my entire life, I've experienced that in a lot of different ways. And it certainly is a skill set to be able to rewire your brain and understand why it is you're feeling that way. And then to have the momentum to go, you know, after what it is you want and realize you can do all those things as well. So yeah, I think that's a shared human experience.
Yes. And I think that was part of the part of why you didn't last long as my nemesis.
Oh, thank goodness.
Is because you are so authentic. I think the people that were my nemesis in the past presented this, I have all my shit together and everything's amazing. And you have been so authentic with trips and travels and how hard it is, et cetera, et cetera.
I was super surprised to learn she'd even played the comparison game with me.
I could even say the same when I first met you. I was like, oh my gosh, Nancy Jane Smith has it all together because you started your business before I started mine. And so I looked to you as a guide of somebody who was doing really amazing work that was fulfilling and inspiring and things that I wanted to emulate with the work that I was building. And so, you know, I look to you as somebody that was on the forefront of human development.
Oh, well, thank you. That's so
sweet. Yeah, I mean it.
But you were, and you are, it's always interesting. It's what, you know, whatever my monger tells me I suck at, and I suck at connections. Like that, I'm not great at networking and building connections, and you are a rock star at that.
That is my superpower.
Yes.
For whatever reason. I know. It's interesting. It's always been my ability to connect people with the right people.
And the thing is, right there, it's your superpower. It's not my superpower, but that doesn't mean I can't have all the superpowers.
No.
You know?
No. Wouldn't it be fun if we did?
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yes. But I think part of doing change is admitting what isn't your superpower.
For sure.
And being able to reach out and get help in that. But that's hard to do.
It's so hard to do. It's having the courage to say, I am horrible at this, or this is frustrating to me. Who do I need to align myself with that can take this burden off my shoulders so I can move forward faster? It's such a great skill to be able to ask for help and recognize where you need it.
If we're not so focused on comparing ourselves to others, it actually gives us space to both acknowledge our own unique gifts and find ways to strengthen the skill sets that we may need a little extra help with. But the key is pulling ourselves out of that comparison trap.
So do you have a story where comparison kept you stuck?
Oh my goodness. I mean, which, yeah, do you want me to start alphabetically in which part of my life? You know, like there's comparison on relationship fronts when I was younger, comparison about, you know, jobs or the business I was building. When I first decided to get certified in coaching and I graduated from NYU, I remember being part of a mastermind, just like it was a one-day deep dive mastermind, and there were other coaches in the room. And so many of these other coaches were hosting retreats in Bali, you know, and doing stuff like that. And I remember thinking like, oh, these coaches, like I'm just starting off, these coaches are making multiple six figures and blah, 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 and they're hosting their clients and these week-long retreats in Bali. And I was like, I should be doing that. Do I have desire to do that? Heck no. I had one infant. I was pregnant with my second child. The anxiety, I was like, okay, well, I can pull this off. Like, okay, where would I go? I'm not going to go to Bali. Who's going to take care of the kids? And I allowed my brain to go down that rabbit hole, trying to keep up with these people. And I was like, actually, that's not even the lane I want to swim in. Like the work I'm doing, like the clients that I want to work with, they don't want to go to Bali with me. They want to go with their friend or their spouse or their partner. And in fact, I don't want to go to Bali with clients. Like, what is that even about? But I did that. Like, I was like, oh, it's that whole should. Like, they're doing it, so I should, because they're successful and I want to be successful. But my version of success was completely different.
Because even when you say, and this was one of the things that clicked in me, oh, you graduated from NYU. And then I'm like, NYU? Oh my God, it's NYU. Like, and so I have this whole story about NYU, but you have lived NYU, and so it doesn't have that same story.
Right, right. But your background is different, right? So you're coming from that like therapy. Background, which I don't have any of that.
Right.
Right? So for me, I needed, well, there are a lot of coaches out in the world that just hang shingles, right? And they say, oh, I'm a coach. I like to listen to people. So therefore, I'm going to start this business. For me, because of my personality, I needed a credential, right? That was very important to me for my personality because I wanted that to have as my foundation. I needed to have that like piece of paper in order to make me feel valid enough, even though the skill set, you know, they didn't teach me the skill set. I already had that skill set because I was born with it, but they gave me the confidence to say, you know what? I deserve to be paid for my skill set.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Other people just have that confidence innately, apparently.
No. And I always say that about therapy. Counseling school didn't teach me how to do therapy. It was just...
That's who you are.
That's who I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting kind of like whatever we aren't. I think why you were my nemesis in another lifetime, I would have picked you. I mean, I would have picked your choices of being more corporate, being more, you know, NYU and kind of having that business background, which is not where I went. It took me a long time to find my lane. And so I think growing up, I thought I should be a business person. I should be doing business coaching. My dad was always telling me, like, go for business. That's where the money is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And when I changed my major to psychology, I think a part of his soul died. He was so upset that I wasn't going to be in business anymore. But in reality, I am more wooey and a little therapy-y.
You know? And you should own that.
And it took me a long time to own that. And so I kept comparing to people who weren't in that lane. And then I think the reason, as we're talking, I'm like, the reason I stopped doing that, or I was like, go, Regan, like I can cheerlead you now instead of being like, oh.
Isn't it interesting the energy that we can put into other people versus like the energy to put into our own business, right?
Oh my
like,
God.
Why do we do that? I know it's just wild. And social media makes it a lot easier to do. Right?
Yeah.
To like, what are they doing? Or, they post on social media 5 times a week. I just had a conversation with one of the renegade women who was like, oh, I really want to do this thing for the month of January in social media, but how does that tie back to my business? And I was like, well, do you get a lot of business from social media? And she's like, no, not at all. And I was like, well, then who the heck cares?
Right.
Do what brings you joy. Like, if your social media is for you to spark joy and like show yourself dancing every day for a month in funny places, then just do that. Like, it has nothing, it's not going to hurt your business either way. And in fact, you're showing up and being human, and that's what attracts people to people, is when you're just being yourself.
I realized as I was talking with Regan that what she was describing, following your joy in business and in life, sounded a lot like self-loyalty. And it seemed like the way to get out of the comparison trap was to listen to that self-loyal voice.
That's why I talk about self-loyalty. It's a word for what we're saying. When I can reconnect with what's my lane, what is it I really want to be doing, where is it I really want to be, what's the marriage that I want to build that really doesn't look like anyone else's marriage, you know, that's the solution to this comparing problem.
Yes. How did you say, what was the phrase you used?
Self-loyalty.
I love that. Self-loyalty. Yeah.
Because I realize all my clients have, they know loyalty. They will do loyalty to others. They're very loyal to everyone but themselves.
Isn't it funny? We show up for other people more than we show up for ourselves all
yeah.
the time. It's wild. Like, what if we backed ourselves like we backed others? Think what could happen.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter what Regan's doing or any of the other people that I've listed as nemeses. I just got to show up and be me.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I just love that. Self-loyalty. That's amazing. I'm here for it.
I know now this behavior, comparing myself to Regan and other people in my field, has to do with fear. Fear of success. Fear of failure. Fear of doing it wrong. Fear of doing it right. Basically, if I could find someone who was doing it better than I was, that meant I didn't have to try. Or if I did try, it was okay that I failed. Comparison gave me an out. I didn't need to try because clearly I would never meet the high expectations set up by my monger. Regan was my final nemesis, which is one reason I wanted to interview her. To once and for all put this practice of emotional cutting behind me. And in the end, as I found out through our conversation, leaving my comparison game behind was all about self-loyalty. But it wasn't magical. It started with me building awareness of what I was doing. I gave myself full permission to spy on my nemesis, swim in the pool of self-doubt, with one rule. I had to pay attention to how I was feeling. By acknowledging what I was feeling, I built awareness of how crappy this practice was making me feel. At the same time, I started welcoming my fear. I knew I was doing this practice out of fear, but I didn't realize how much fear there was. So I started acknowledging that fear. Each time I spied on my nemesis, I took some time to check in with my fear. Where am I afraid? Why am I afraid? And I would remind myself, I'm safe and I'm worthy. I can do this. And then borrowing a practice from Brené Brown, I would put on a theme song to pump myself up. My song of choice, Fight Song by Rachel Platten, to remind myself it is okay to be scared and do it anyway. Yes, comparison is the thief of joy, and it is a sign that we are avoiding change. Rather than beating ourselves up for comparison, let's use this emotional cutting practice as a way to build self-loyalty. And maybe reach out to your own nemesis for a chat or coffee. You may find that you have more in common than you think. That's it for this week. Our next episode is the final episode of the season, and we're going to come full circle with the theme of change. I'll talk to a very special guest about how we've approached change at different stages of our lives, how even the way we think about change can change. That's next time on The Happier Approach. The Happier Approach is produced by Nikki Stein and me, Nancy Jane Smith. Music provided by Pod 5 and Epidemic Sound. For more episodes, to get in touch, or to learn more about Self-Loyalty School, you can visit nancyjanesmith.com. And if you like the show, leave us a review. it actually helps us out a lot. A huge thanks to Regan Walsh for speaking with us today. You can learn more about Regan and purchase her book, Heart Boss, Trust Your Gut, Shed Your Shoulds, and Create a Life You Love at reganwalsh.com. You can also learn about Regan's new journey with Renegade by visiting renegade.global. The Happier Approach will be back with another episode in 2 weeks. Take care. Until then.